Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District, welcome back to the Congressional Corner, John.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be with you again.
Okay, so let's talk about, you gave in the last time you gave your reason for voting against the tax overhaul plan. I would never want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you said was the kicker was the deduction of state and local taxes or the disallowance of that.
Yeah, and there are a couple of other issues. The medical expense deduction, eliminating that in the House bill, I think is going to be a problem for some people. It doesn't affect a lot of people, but it affects a certain number of people very significantly. And I think, look, if you have more than 10% adjusted gross income in medical expenses, that should be something the code should reflect. And incidentally, I met with a group of folks, residents down in New Paltz last week, who are in a continuing care retirement community. And now, a continuing care community is one where you put a lot of money up front.
You do.
And that on the promise that your care will be provided for you even if you have a need for a skilled nursing home facility. So a lady said to me, she and her husband moved into this place, beautiful place, 10 years ago. And now her husband is incurring a cost in the skilled nursing facility because he has dementia. And so it's costing them $15,000 a month. Now, these folks are paying, they have money. They're paying this out of pocket. They're not on Medicaid. But the premise of that healthcare system is that if they needed very large medical expenses, if they had to incur them, that they'd be able to have this deduction for their extraordinary medical expenses. And I think that's a fair thing. They made this assumption moving into this place that they would have that deduction if they needed it, and they're not on Medicaid, which is a publicly paid system. So the medical expense deduction is critically important for someone in that situation. Now, I'll tell you, Alan, my discussions with people on the medical expense deduction, until I had gone to this facility and talked to these folks, I had never even thought about it in the context of folks that are in a continuing care community and how they premised their economic decision to go into that facility and set aside the money, again, not using taxpayer-funded Medicaid, but putting the money aside themselves. Part of the premise was they would have this deduction if they needed it. Now we're kind of pulling the rug out from under them. So this is a flaw in the House bill. The Senate bill doesn't have that. It maintains this deduction. And so I'd like to see that medical expense deduction be maintained as well. There's another couple of aspects as well, which we can go in, which, again, caused me to say, even though I want tax reform and there are many aspects of the bill that I do support, but it caused me to say, I think this is the wrong approach.
So, John Faso, let me ask you, when you were going through the pains of deciding how to vote on all of this, was the White House in touch with you? Were you being lobbied? Were you being pushed?
The White House was not in touch with me. Their congressional liaisons will often talk to members of Congress, including me, about different issues. And I'll raise different issues with them on issues that I'm trying to deal with for constituents. So I've got a whole list of things that I'm dealing with on behalf of constituents right now where I need to speak to someone with the White House congressional liaison or with an agency's congressional liaison. That's the normal course of give and take in the Congress. So the leadership, however, tried pretty hard to persuade me that I should support the bill. And they did it in very good faith. I made it very plain I was going to make my decision based upon how I saw it at the end of the day. I listened to their presentations and their point of view on this. We went through any number of meetings talking about this. Steve Scalise, the whip, was terrific in terms of his discussions with me. It was all like, here's what we want, how we want to explain it to you, persuade you, et cetera. What are your objections? How can we meet them? They partially met some of the objections we had by restoring a $10,000 property tax deductibility. But at the end of the day, the impact upon New York writ large on the loss of the income tax deductibility was the thing that required me to vote no. So I had no undue pressure from them. There were no threats or anything like that, unlike what Governor Cuomo has said. I just made the decision based on the facts as I saw them.
As a political science teacher of a long time, I used to teach the students this business about being in the tank or being off the hook. There are those people who think they let you off the hook because you're going to have a close race.
Well, people, opponents will say anything, and so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. I know that I cast my vote based upon the facts as I saw them, based upon the impact on my district and my state, and based upon what I thought was good policy. And that's really the long and short of it.
You voted no. Your colleague from the North Country, Lee Stefanik, voted no. But two of your colleagues, Claudia Tenney and Mr. Collins, voted yes, among others.
Actually, four did. Four from New York voted yes, and five of us from New York voted no.
Do you have any, we've talked about the substance, do you have any sense of the politics of the situation?
I think that, again, I'm not going to characterize someone else's vote or to criticize a colleague's vote in this regard.
But they came out differently than you did.
They came out differently. And look, the bottom line on this is that we all have independent judgment and independent thought processes. We all discussed it as New Yorkers. And I think that for some, the fact that most middle-class New Yorkers are going to get a tax cut, particularly upstate, was the deciding factor. Downstate, it's a little bit different if you're in a district like Dan Donovan, where you have not only New York State taxes, but New York City taxes.
We're talking Staten Island.
Staten Island and Brooklyn, that's a tough vote to have cast a vote in favor of this. And he voted no, and as did my colleagues Peter King and Lee Zeldin from the very high-taxed Long Island suburbs. So it really, I think that people's point of view on this was influenced a lot by how their district felt, and I think that I respect that.
Let me talk to you just for a few seconds about the individual mandate. Now, you voted for the health care bill, the Trump health care bill. Now the Senate has put the individual mandate back into the bill. Can you parse that for us?
Well, it wasn't in the House version. I think that I'd prefer not to see it in the tax bill. Although, keep in mind, when Justice Roberts cast the deciding vote upholding the individual mandate and therefore the ACA.
Obamacare, yeah.
Yeah, he called it a tax, even though when they passed the bill, they said it's not a tax. In fact, if they had called it a tax when they passed the ACA, they never would have been able to pass it politically. So some people say, well, it shouldn't be in this tax reform bill because this deals with health care. But indeed, it is a tax. My view is that it's best to keep it out of the tax reform discussion and not get the health care issue interposed with the tax reform issue, because I think it makes it much more difficult to sell and get political support for it.
So is it stupid of them? We only have 50 seconds, but was it stupid of them to put it in the Senate bill?
I wouldn't say it's stupid, Alan. I would say it might be ill-advised.
It's always great to talk to our friend, Republican Congressman John Faso of New York's 19th District. When we come back the next time, let's go international.
Thanks, Alan.